My dear friends, we are once again gathered in our Father's house, and we're here because we need him. He is the main attraction. It is funny that some people in the world believe that, like, we're doing God a favor by showing up. It's sort of like doing your mom a favor by eating the food she makes, right? It's kind of a backward way of thinking. The thing is that we come here so that we can hear God's word, so that we can, and not just hear it and let it bounce off of us, but hear it and let it soak in, drink deeply from God's word, because we need it so badly. And we need it right to the center of our being and our core. And so I just encourage you folks today that as we worship, that we turn our minds and our hearts upon him and all that he has for us this morning. So let us begin our worship service, okay? Let's begin remembering the day that we were baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have called us to be your own, that you've enlightened us with your gifts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to set aside anything that might cause us worry, fear, anxiety, anything that might pull us away from just being present here with you. Help us to hear your word and to receive your encouragement in life. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sin and shame where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave his life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Good morning. Hope everybody had a great week. It's a beautiful day. And that's one of my favorite songs. First reading today. Oh, my name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. The first reading today is Romans 8, 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to living according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen, then, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, so Pastor just read what's called a parable. A lot loaded in that. A lot of things going on, but basically it's a story. And if you listened, the story was about planting things. All right, and apparently learning about that will help us learn a little bit more about Jesus and heaven and God. So I brought some plants. Has anyone here ever planted something? Have you guys ever planted flowers or fruits or vegetables or anything like that? No, some of you have, though. Oh, are any deer going to get in here? Because I need your help. I'm going to plant something in here. So those who raised their hands that have planted something, I need your help. So look, I got two things here. One, I got some seeds, all right? And I want them to grow. Luckily, my wife is really good at planting things, but I want to try this for myself. So she gave me a really good example of what this should look like one day. Is this a cool plant? Everyone clap for her plant because she loves her plants. She did a good job. She made sure she put the plant in the bag so that I couldn't hurt it. So very important plant. Anyway, I've got seeds. I want this to look like that. So naturally, I have to take the seeds out of the bag. And then what do I do with them? I got to plant them. Perfect. So I'll just start sprinkling them right here. What's supposed to happen? They don't look like this yet. Oh, here. I'll put them so all of you guys can see down here. Maybe it's better over there. Don't mind this, Pastor Bob and Pastor Josh. Is it working? I need soil? Okay. Luckily, again, my wife prepared me, so I got that too. I got some soil in this bag. All right. So now I'll take the soil out. And then I have to put that on the seeds, right? What else do I need? The bag and put it on the seeds? Put the seeds on the soil. Oh, do I need to put the soil in something? What do you normally put soil in? Oh, that's a much better idea. Pastor Bob and Pastor Josh just took a big sigh of relief. I got a pot, too. It's a very pretty pot from Aldi. So we've got that, too. So now what do I do? Okay, good idea. Good idea. This takes a lot of things to get this done. This is a lot more work than I was ready for. Okay, so now we got the soil in the pot. Oh, well, I got more seeds. Those can live there now. Are those seeds going to do very well? Probably not the ones on the ground. But I'll take some more seeds, and now we'll put it there. Now. Water? I need the sun. Well, okay. I got some water. Perfect. So I need water, too. So I got my watering can. I'll pour a little bit of the water in there. Perfect. There's just a little bit of water in there. Perfect. I have to put it in the light? Well, if I put it in the sun right now, is it going to grow just like that? Why do you do this? It takes way too long. So this is going to take a lot more than I thought, right? Are those seeds on the ground ever going to grow? No. Would these seeds in the pot, if I take them outside, grow? Probably, but if I just left them outside for a really long time and I never came back to them, would they grow still? No. What do you have to do with plants? Oh, like a child. Oh, I've learned about that. Again, luckily I have a wife for that. I just tried pouring water on her head. Didn't grow. Not yet. Well, it just looks like some seeds in a pot. But like I said, you guys know the drill. You got to put the things. First, you need the seeds. You need the thing that's going to grow. But then you have to take care of it, right? You've got to get the things like the soil and the pot. And for me, I maybe not don't know how to take care of it perfectly. So I might even need a helper. Like I might need my wife to help me too. It takes a lot of things, right, to take care of plants. And that's what the parable was talking about. Just like you can't just put seeds out there and hope they take care of themselves, we need to make sure that we do the right things to help take care of those too. And then those seeds grow into something really pretty, right? But you got to take care of them. So we got to keep taking care of our faith. How can we take care of our faith? What are some things we can do? Put fire on it. Take care of our faith. How can we learn more about Jesus? Praying. What else can we do? Read the Bible. You ever talk to like Pastor Bob or Pastor Josh or your parents about Jesus? Those are doing those things is just like watering your plants. So we need to make sure we keep doing those things, okay? All right, let's pray real quick. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me the gospel to be your seeds. Help it grow in my heart and in others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
You don't have to pick all those up. We're going to vacuum.
Oh, wonderful.
And then they'll get mixed with dirt, and they'll grow just perfectly. It'll be great. I also cannot plant anything. All right. Very good. Oh, my goodness. So today, we get a lesson on how to grow. All right? Now, the way Jesus gave us this lesson is kind of he gave it to us by telling us all the things that can go wrong. All right? He was teaching his disciples, and he said the farmer goes out and throws seed, and they said, and then the seeds fell on various different kinds of soil, indicating all the things that can go wrong with the growth of the seed. But I don't think that's what Jesus was really doing, was like telling us how seeds don't grow. I think what he was trying to do is teach us how seeds do grow, right? And but there's one other element to this whole story, right? And the element is this. There's an adversary, all right? There is one who is working against the seed. One of the kids talked about the deer. That would be an adversary, okay? An adversary is not a competitor. You know what I mean? A competitor, if you're like, you guys ever play tag, right? Playing tag is cool if you're all playing fair and nice and you're the friends playing, and it's about speed and strategy and all those kinds of things. But the adversary is the one who hurts you to make you weak so that you're easier to catch. You understand? Now, they're no longer friends. They are now working against you and are willing to do you harm to win the game. Rather, the big difference between a competitor and an adversary, right? And the devil is the adversary. Jesus wants us to receive the seed and grow. The adversary is working against us. And if you ever want a beautiful illustration of this, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. Anybody read it? Read it. It is such a great book. It is wonderful to teach you how to avoid the temptations that the adversary would like to put in front of you. Things that are going to tangle you up and keep you from growing. And but Jesus has his list right here today. And his list is, first, when you are listening to God's word, your job is to understand. That's the first step. Okay? Now, there are different things that are going to keep you from understanding, one of which is falling asleep. Another one is thinking about what you have to do after the service. You know, I mean, there are so many things that we do inside our own brains that will work against our being able to comprehend and understand the word of God that is being spoken, right? And the devil loves to use those. He doesn't have to make you hate Jesus. All he has to do is distract you from Jesus. And if he can keep you from understanding, keep you from hearing, keep you from listening, keep you from learning about God's word and what God has to say to you, he wins at a very easy level. He just distracts you, right? Takes your eyes off of him, off of his word, so you don't even comprehend what is being said. Is this a very common place for people to be? Yeah, people who know that Jesus exists, kind of know that he did something with a cross, something about rising again on Easter, but other than that, they really don't understand what it was Jesus is about and what it is Jesus came to do and what it is Jesus is still doing so that we can spend eternity with him. They just don't get it. Once you understand, you're not there, right? There are a lot of people who are very attentive students. They're the people who, like, sat in the front row and got A's, right? They're just programmed to pay attention, and they listen. And they just listen, and they're really good at it, and they hear the words that are spoken. They hear about Jesus. They hear about his grace. They hear about his desire for us. They hear about his love for us. They hear about his desire for others. They know what God wants them to do and how God wants them to live. And they pay very good attention while they're here. But then they step out the door. And as soon as they step out the door, what happens? The world returns, right? I mean, it's like this is a bubble. And in a very real and beautiful way, this is kind of a bubble. It's a bubble of God's house. You know, it's a place where we can go to rest, a place where we can go to hear his word, to avoid a lot of the distractions, except for moms and dads of small children. But you can just avoid a lot of the distractions of life, and you are able to focus your attention on Jesus, and just, it's a beautiful thing. But it can't be so much of a bubble that as soon as we leave the church, we no longer think about Jesus, think about his word, think about what we learned, because what that's called, that's understanding, but no roots. That we don't think about it, meditate on it, allow it to permeate our life, actually. That when we hear about, you know, how God wants us to be kind to the difficult people in our life, we talk a lot about that because there's always lots of difficult people. And so God tells us he wants to be kind to the difficult people, and on Sunday morning, we totally get it. Sunday afternoon, you know, that's when somebody annoys us and we might not be as kind because we're no longer in that headspace, right? And the next step, the next place that the devil wants to derail our faith is in that. If he can't distract you at church, he can distract you out there. And he can keep you from ever deeply thinking about your life, understanding God's word, and merging the two so that the word of God affects you. That we would conform to God's word, that we would change our minds, change our hearts, that we would be. Now, are we doing all this work? Of course not. The Holy Spirit is doing most of it. But if we don't allow him room in our life, we can stop him, we can stymie him, and we can make it really difficult, and we can actually stunt our spiritual growth. And the thing is that nowadays we have so many ways that we can distract ourselves. I mean, the internet is full of ways to distract yourself. And if it's not the internet, it can be family life, it can be sports with the kids, it can be your own work, it can be hobbies, it can be anything. There's just so many ways that we can spend every single moment doing something other than thinking about God and applying his word in our lives. So that God gets absolutely, you know, the Holy Spirit gets no oxygen, no room to work, and we just wall him out. And if we do this, those plants perish right away. They flash a little growth, and then they perish because they are not allowed to have root, right? And then there are the ones who grow or are planted. We understand. We begin to give it some thought and attention outside of here. But basically, it's a matter of timing, right? It's like if instead of stopping thinking about it at the door, we just stop thinking about it maybe a day later. Like, you know, by Monday night, it's gone. And once again, if we don't consistently give God time in our life, time set apart for him, time to think and meditate on him, we can't expect to flourish. And understand, this is not God. I think the devil doesn't want us to become Jesus freaks. You know, you guys know the Jesus freaks? You know, the crazy people that talk about Jesus all the time, and we're all like concerned. We definitely don't want to be a Jesus freak, right? I mean, that would be the worst. And so wouldn't it be better if we nip this early, right? And the devil the devil loves to lie. It's what he does. So he tells you, you don't want this, so if you are going to go to church, don't take it too seriously. You know what I'm saying? Don't let it actually affect who you are. Don't let it become part of how you think. Don't be that person who's like talking about Jesus all the time, because wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't it be better if you just keep it at a safe distance? You know, okay, fine, if you want to pay attention in church, but that's fine. Keep it there. You know, study it sort of like you do Marxism. You know, like, boy, those people are strange, but I don't want it to be part of me. You know what I'm saying? But God doesn't want that. He wants the full relationship with us. He wants to come into our lives and permeate our lives. He wants to explain to us through his word exactly who he is and what he has done. He wants us to be able to live in the peace of understanding that he has fixed the relationship between us and God. He wants us to understand that we are his children, and that even though we are not in control of this world, that he is in control, and that he loves us, and that he promises to be with us and to help us, provide for us, protect us according to his own will, and that we can trust him. And that even if God's plan for us is not always comfortable, which there's no promise that it's going to be always comfortable, right? That we have the assurance of knowing that our God has made a way for us to spend eternity with him. And he wants that truth to change us. He wants that truth to make us free. That instead of being enslaved by the worries, cares, concerns of the world, that we instead are focused on the things that God says are important. Yeah, there's so many times in life where we have this, you know, one of the things that keeps us from thinking about God after we leave the building is the real world. You know what I'm saying? The real world. Like, as in, like, yeah, that faith stuff is really cool, but we have to live in the real world. And what's the real world is about power, about money, and about status. That's the real world. And God is saying, that's a trap. None of those things matter. None of those things last. Don't seek after those things. Seek after the things that are more real than the real world, which is our faith, which is our God, which is the life that he is giving us and the life that we get to live with him forever. This is what it's about. So be careful what we seek. In life, we often find what we're looking for. You know, if you're looking for status, if you're looking for money, if you're looking for power, you can find these things. But they don't satisfy. In the end, they're not real. The only thing that is real, the thing that satisfies, the thing that fulfills our lives is when we drink deeply of the God who created us and loves us. Drink deeply of his mission, which is to rescue people who are lost, including us. That it is his mission to give us life and give it abundantly. That it is his mission that we would, on the last day, live with him and spend eternity with him. And that his desire is not that we wait until heaven to start living with God and for God, but that we would do so now. Commit ourselves fully to him. Understand that life, real life, is living in community with God and God's people. This is where real life begins. And there's one other thing that I got to tell you, and that's this. One thing, an observation about this parable is this, is that once we are getting to the point where we are like, okay, we're becoming a little bit Jesus freak, all right? Now, again, there's the Peter passage that talks about, you know, always be prepared to, always be prepared to, give a reason for the faith that you have, for the hope that you have. But then what's the next line? Do this with gentleness and respect. So, okay, running and getting in people's face is probably not the way to do evangelism, right? But we do want to be sharing this gospel. And we don't want to be so judicious about the places and times we do it. There's so many times when we don't share the gospel because we in our minds say, well, this person isn't in the right place to receive this right now. Right? We say, well, we're going to make the judgment for this person, and if I share it with them right now, they're not going to receive it. And we think that way, right? But what did the farmer do in the parable? Where did he throw the seed? Everywhere. He was not judicious. He was not careful. He was wasteful. I mean, he threw seed on the path. He knew that wasn't the right place for it, but he did it anyway. And what you got to learn from this is this: God is gracious. He is loving. He overflows with mercy, and he spreads his grace everywhere, and he wants us to do the same thing. That we would, like the one we follow, speak of him all over the place. Listen to his word. Understand it. If you don't understand it, even when you're paying attention, that means you have a responsibility to figure it out. That means you need to go ask the pastor questions. That means you need to read a book. You got to do something. This is important stuff. You can't just fake it. You got to understand. So understand what it is. Actively learn. Meditate on it. Think about it. Let it soak into you. Take God's law. Compare your life. It won't be fun, but it'll be good. Let God deeply into you, law and gospel. Understand exactly what you've done wrong to the depth of it, not just the surface, not just that I wasn't nice to the person, but that you were not loving that person, that you were putting yourself first, that you put your judgment over God's judgment, which is idolatry, and that you need to overcome the depth of the sin, not just the surface sin. And let God change you. And then let God use you so that you can be active in the world and that you can multiply. Because that's what the goal of plants is. It's not just to grow. It's to bear seeds and to spread the seeds around so that more plants can grow. So folks, it's a crazy world God gives us. I mean, the place is nuts. And it's a crazy gospel God gives us. I mean, it's complete and total. And it's a life that God gives us, and he wants us to live it, to grab on with both hands, drink deeply, and totally immerse ourselves in this faith so that we can fully appreciate all that God has made. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful church, Lord, that all these Christians that you have surrounded us with. We thank you, Lord, for your death and resurrection and the life that we have everlasting because of your work. We thank you for the Spirit and the faith that he has placed in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to drink deeply, Lord, to allow you deep into our hearts, to conform us to you so that we can be all that you want us to be. And you may be glorified through us. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord, my hope is found.
righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I am.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Right. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite everyone forward who's going to be participating in the Arizona mission trip to be commissioned.
Well, that's not all of us. That's okay. Folks, we are about to head out on a trip, a journey, a long van ride. Hard work in the desert, and then another long van ride. what are you guys doing? It's kind of a silly way to spend your summer, isn't it? But the thing is that we're going out there to love the people that God has given us to love. And there are a bunch of people on that reservation who are in desperate need for many things. And we can't help them with all of those things, but we can help them with some. And funny thing is that we're about to go to Arizona, and this is my, I don't even remember how many trips I've done there now, probably many. And we still don't know what we're going to do when we get there. Isn't that wild? I mean, it's basically we're going to go and do whatever God has for us. And it's why we're doing it. This is what we need to learn. This is what we need to, you know, get into our hearts and our minds, is to know that we're going to go, and that our God is big enough to make us able to do whatever he puts in front of us. And all we got to do is faithfully follow and willingly serve. Are you willing to do this? Excellent. And while we're doing all these things, God's going to put some really cool people around us, and you're going to get a chance to get to know some people. And there are going to be people with some interesting stories, let me tell you. You know? And God's going to want us to get to know them and love them and, if possible, share his grace with them. Are you willing to do that? Outstanding. And with that, we trust ourselves to God. We put ourselves in his hands. He'll provide, he'll protect, he'll enable. He will guide us. He'll put us in the right place at the right time with the right people. And in that moment, he'll even give us the right words to say. It's all about him, right? So let's pray and ask God to bless us and just entrust ourselves to him for this trip. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for these young people. We thank you for our the adults who are going to be taking them. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We thank you for the people that we're going to serve. We thank you for the faith, Lord, that you have in, of the faithful people that you have already placed on the reservation. People that we're going to work alongside and minister to and encourage, Lord, as we're there as well. Lord, I pray that you would. That you would bless this trip, that you would guide this trip, that you would empower this trip, that you would make it all happen, that you would be the God that you are, so that we can be your people, and that we can bless your people. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Please stand as we continue with the prayers of the day. Heavenly Father, help us to read, learn, and inwardly digest your word. Help us to reject the temptations of the devil. Help us to resist the temptations of conforming our lives towards growing in power or money or status. Instead, help us to conform our lives to you, that our lives would produce an abundant crop by your word and by your power. Heavenly Father, we come before you with the prayers of our people. We give thanks that Angie Hummel's mom was discharged from the hospital and pray you continue to give her strength. We pray that you'd continue to be with William Stomberger with heart issues. We thank you that Fritz Schrader is home and pray that you continue to help him feeling recovered. We thank you that Lewis Johnson's surgery was successful and pray you help him with his recovery. We give thanks to you that Kitchen's cancer surgery went well. We pray that you would be with Tong Lung, who has been suffering with back issues. We pray that you would alleviate those issues. We pray that you'd be with Anita Thurman, who's having still some pain after a recent fall. Give her strength and healing. We pray that you'd be with Jan Beasley, who's suffering with pneumonia. We pray that she would be restored. As well, this day we pray for our state leadership. Pray for all the judges in our state that they would administer rightly the laws of our land and be mindful of the needs of the people. All this we pray in your Son's holy precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Is he worthy?
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and keep you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us in worship this day. I'd like to invite all the children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and meet with our DC, Lauren Bates, there in the back. And as well, I just want to invite all of you to attend. We have our adult Bible study here at 11. Pastor Bill is going to be teaching on Ephesians 3 and the benefit of fellowship. In the next few weeks, he's going to be going through Ephesians 4 and 5, respectively. So I encourage all of you to attend that. Otherwise, I have no other announcements. So again, thank you for coming, and stay cool out there.